Welcome to another episode.
No, hang on. I'm going to stop you there.
What?
There's no point in doing a whole intro. This episode's going to be a financial flop.
It's going to be a financial flop.
In April, there was a list of 10 episodes of the Fantasy Film League podcast in 2019 that will be financial flops. And this episode, October episode, is going to be a financial... It's been slated. Everyone's decided that it's going to be a financial flop, so it's going to be a financial flop.
It's been decided.
It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a financial flop.
That makes no sense.
Sorry, it's the way it is. It was on the list. Financial flop.
I just don't get it. Oh, hang on. No, is this the theme for the episode? Is this the thing?
Oh, yes.
What we can do.
Oh, yes. Hello and welcome to the September
episode
of the FFL podcast. Hello. Hi, I'm Mr. Birch, as usual. You're Mr. Smith,
yes.
As usual.
I'm going to try and say upbeat and perky, even though we know that this episode's going to be a flop.
Financial flop, yeah. Absolutely financial flop. It has been ordained.
Oh dear, how can that
be? It's okay.
Be?
So I've been to see loads of films.
Good, okay.
We've got some things to go through on the game, but this is going to be a relatively short one.
Yep.
But I'm going to try and keep this
short and snappy
for reasons that will become obvious for people who understand how time works.
Yes.
So let's get straight into it. Are we definitely sure that all the music cues are right this month?
Yes. Yes.
Sure?
There is no more Lion King. That has
been
excised.
It's been purged.
And I even dusted off. I found where we put the new news trailer.
Oh, you got it out of the archive
news
storage.
Thing. Yeah. Yep. Here we go.
Let's do it.
This is the news.
Oh yeah,
love it. So what's going on?
So the saga of One and Done. That's what's going on.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
We've opened a bit of
it's going to be a long
worms,
walk.
Haven't we?
It's going to be a very long walk to a huge mountain to drop a ring into.
Yeah. Wow, we're just full of Lord of the Rings references.
So we discussed it and we got in on Discord and we got into like, what if we do this and then that and then what about the budgets and things. Here is how One and Done will work by the end of the year. The first film you put in the season is your One and Done film, right?
Right.
And there will be
a default set as One and Done.
It will be. And then you can keep it going as long as you like, or you can replace it. But whatever you put in first, that's what you will score in One and Done.
So if you fiddle with it, you bomb out of the... You get removed.
You just won't earn anymore. So if like halfway through the year you go, I'm done with that film, I want to replace it with a new one, then you basically get frozen, your position gets frozen.
In the one and done list.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So, and then if you leave that out all year, great, and then you can put you've got two other films to play around with, right?
Right.
You can have a total of three films out at a time.
Yeah.
So you can play the game, you can play both games at the same time. If you're obsessive and you want to have just a perfect one and done that you leave on its own, and then you want to play the main league with the full flexibility of having three films out at the same time, then the solution is create two accounts. Have a one and done account and have a playing it normally account. We're not going to have two modes. We're not going to try and explain that to people. It's like the people who really want to nail one and done, they're smart enough to have two email addresses and two
accounts. Some of them, let's be honest, already do.
And some of them already do. And then we've covered that in previous episodes. So that is what will happen.
Cool.
Now, off the back of that, I've gone into Whopper and discovered that it's a bit like walking into an incredibly untidy kitchen. Over the years, I've let the pans, dirty pans pile up.
We have grafted a couple of things in as we've gone on.
There's tasty meals coming out into the restaurant, but the
you
kitchen,
don't want to see.
Don't want to see how
as,
it's
as
made.
They say, it's yeah. like it's the FFL is like laws yeah. and sausages. You
so,
don't want to see how. You don't
so
see how it's been made.
It's got to a point where the health inspectors have come in and they've gone, no,
right.
no more.
Have
you need to steam clean this from the bottom to the top.
Has your coding OCD kicked in?
It has. And so right.
This happens about once a year, doesn't
there's,
it?
There's problems. It's like, literally, Whopper has no idea what your first fantasy film is and what your second one is. It knows when you put them out, but it has to actually go and look at all of your films to work out what your first film is. And that means doing the one and done is way more difficult than it needs to be. And there's other stuff I need to tidy up. So I'm steam cleaning Whopper from the ground up. And at the end of it, we will get one and done. But it's going to take some time. And then we've got all the extra stuff that we discussed previously about making it so that you, when you put a new film out, it's hidden until the week gets scored.
Yeah,
so
that, which we think is fair.
And
yeah.
all of that stuff. And maybe even going as far as having it so that you can adjust your upcoming film before the end of the deadline. So you can put in like a rough fix. And if the time ticks over, that's what goes in. And all of that stuff, I've got to do all of this cleaning up to get to a point where I can build this, all this new exciting stuff. So,
okay.
We might not see any of this until right at the tail end of the year.
Okay. So if you keep your head down for 2019, 2020
is going to be beautiful.
We'll go for it. Okay. Yeah.
So that's it.
Cool.
That's the game update. I think we've waded through the forest.
Well,
we've found our way with one and done.
It's like a lot of things though. You've got to design it, then you've got to run it past people who actually play it.
Yeah.
And then you've got to give it a bash, which is why the Discord group is so useful, because
it is.
I've had casting discussions on there. We've kind of flown out features. So if you are in any way interested in at least having a voice of shaping the future, because, you know, this isn't a democracy, but at the same time, we like to get everyone's opinions.
The folks there have saved us numerous times, because it's like, oh, we could do this for one and done. And they're like, yeah, that sounds all right. But what about this? And we're like, oh, yeah, that would be bad.
Because you've been playing it. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. So that's pretty much it from the game, which probably means the next few kind of game updates is like, well...
it's working.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
You'll hear me like polishing things and stuff, but not a lot of visible things will be happening apart from people will be getting less food poisoning. I think I've run that...
Figuratively, I think I've run that analogy
to ground.
Yeah.
Right, I think that's it from the news from a game point of view. Anything else, or do we move on and look at some of the films you've watched?
We're going to keep it punchy.
Okay.
Right, this bit's going to be very unpopular, so you might want to strap in.
Okay.
So, as you know, I have done a new deal with the powers that be and the dark denizens of my world, and I get to go and see one film a week.
Ah, it's the Infinite Movie Pass.
The Infinite Movie Pass. So, I booked my ticket to go and see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Ah.
And
the new Quentin Tarantino movie.
And then I cancelled it.
Okay, because?
Because I couldn't be bothered.
Okay.
Then I booked it again. I said, no, I really have to go and see this film.
Yeah, because it's a big film.
I booked it again. And then I cancelled it again.
Because?
I couldn't be bothered.
Okay.
So I have...
So then, and then you booked it the third time.
No.
And you've seen it.
No. So I basically couldn't be bothered. Now, I've heard reviews for it, and everyone said it's really good.
This level of professionalism is...
No, and I know, and I want to explain myself, because...
Not acceptable.
Because I've come to realise that in trying to force myself to go and see this film, it's forced me to confront a truth which may be a paradigm shift for the universe.
Right.
I don't like Quentin Tarantino movies.
What?
I know. Really like Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
But it's a really good play.
Right.
Should have been a play, because it's staged that way. It's really good.
Okay.
And then I watched City on Fire.
Uh-huh.
And realized... What's
that? City on...
Exactly.
Right.
And then I realized that Reservoir Dogs was kind of just... A lot of the cool bits were kind of borrowed.
Okay.
From that.
Right.
And then I like Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good film.
We all love Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, everyone loves Pulp Fiction.
Classic.
And then what do you think about Jackie Brown?
Okay.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah.
It wasn't. And it didn't feel very Tarantino-y.
No, not really. And then Kill Bill.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Quite long.
Yeah. I mean, Kill Bill should have been one long film rather than two really long films.
Mm.
And it kind of dragged. And mm-hmm. I didn't like Django Unchained.
I actually didn't go and see that.
Didn't like Inglourious Basterds.
Okay, and I have seen that one. Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but was it any good?
Brad Pitt.
It was all right.
I can't remember. I just like Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. Yeah, Christoph Waltz had a really good bit at the beginning, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then what happened? Exactly. You've seen The Hateful Eight?
No, couldn't be bothered.
Could be bothered. Yeah. So, okay. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I suddenly kind of went,
hang on a second.
But it's Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, but have you seen him being interviewed? No, I know. Do me a favor. Yeah. Take off those rose tinted glasses.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I guess I see what you mean. Yeah, because I've been thinking about going to see it, and I haven't.
And yeah.
And I talked to Mrs. Smith, and she was like,
Nah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think I see where you're coming from. We're gonna get a lot of stick for this.
I know. Right, should we move on?
Yeah. Okay.
So next film I went to see, is I decided to try and go and see that Gerard Butler, Morgan Freeman, Angel Has Fallen.
This is Angel.
A Secret Service agent.
President. Oh yeah. I remember the trailer. It looked kind of awesome.
I canceled my ticket
because
I couldn't be bothered. But also, hang on, I also realised something.
Yeah.
It's the third part.
Yes.
I've seen the first one.
Yes.
Haven't seen the second one.
Do you need to see the second one?
I feel I've seen the second one because just London blows up. But I suddenly went, I just realised I've got to see part three, haven't seen part two.
Okay.
But then I remember the first one. Do you remember my review of the first one?
Yeah.
Do you remember it was a multiple choice question because it was so formulaic, it was untrue. And then I thought, what the hell am I doing? Well, I'm wasting my time going to see Angel Has Fallen. So I didn't see that either.
Okay, right. This is really, you know, are there any films you have seen?
It's not my fault. September has been really lean for films because I wanted to watch Spider-Man, but it's gone now and I missed it.
Right.
And the only big film that's come out so far this month has been Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, the trailers podcast that we're in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, for October.
There's a lot of films in that and I'm pretty sure I can get at least one film a week out of that. So I've got high hopes for that.
Yeah, yeah. But right September's now, we're been in a bit better.
So guess what film I did go and see? I went and saw Good Boys.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Hang on.
Better see Good Boys.
Right. I have no idea about that film. Is it like Bad Boys sequel?
No. It's like Superbad.
Uh-huh.
But they're 10 years younger.
How does that work?
It doesn't.
Oh.
And here's why.
Right.
So this is a story of 3 6th grade boys.
This is a story all about
these kids, and they're all 11.
Uh-huh.
So they're on the verge, or they're 11 or 12. They're on the verge of hitting puberty. They're all best mates. They work in school. They're waiting for stuff to happen. They swear, which is not great. They're trying to get in with the cool kids, blah, 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 blah. The dad goes away and says, whatever you do, don't drive my Ferrari. No, hang on. No, sorry. That's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The dad goes away and says, don't invite loads of prostitutes to my house. No, sorry. That's risky business. The dad goes away and says, don't play with my drone.
Because it's 2019.
Which they then crash.
Of course.
And then they have to replace.
Right.
Wackiness ensues.
Oh, high stakes.
No.
But funny, right?
No.
Fun. It's a comedy, yeah?
No.
Like Superbad.
It tries to be super bad, but because the kids are just the wrong side of that age group, it's just weird because they swear a lot, but they get words wrong,
right.
which is initially quite funny.
Okay,
so because someone accused them of being misogynistic, and later on they kind of go, "But I'm not a feminist. I don't care what they say. I like women." And you go, "Oh, that's clever because they've mixed up the word misogynistic and feministic." And that happens a few times, and it's a diminishing return joke.
Right.
And then their interaction with adults is weird. They're being chased by the evil teenagers who just want their drugs back. Drugs are bad, kids. But then the teenagers at the end turn up on drugs and basically provide them with their epiphany and are really nice to them, which means, are drugs good? So that's a really weird message. It just doesn't work. It's the same guys who did Superbad. So clearly someone's gone, I want Superbad, but I want Superbad bad too, but I don't want those guys. I want younger kids, and they've tried it. And some of the I can almost feel that some of the jokes they did in Superbad that got rejected for not being funny enough were recycled into this film.
This is the sweepings from the editing.
It is suite.
Refilmed.
There's one bit that's really funny. They have to go and buy more drugs because they flushed the drugs that they stole from the teenagers down. They threw them away. In fact, they actually give it to a cop. Anyway, they have to go into a frat house to get more drugs. But obviously the frat house is the usual bongs and beer cans and dude bros everywhere.
Yep.
And they've also got toga-wearing newbies who are being hazed.
Hazed, I think.
We don't have frat houses here in the old world, so we don't really get why this is funny. But anyway, they try and buy the drugs from the boys. The boys tell them to do one, at which point they pull out a paintball gun. The transaction goes really well until the kid then slips and caps one of them in the head with a paintball gun and a huge shootout starts. But it's a real proper John Wick style shootout with slow motion and paintball gun and people diving over sofas. And that bit is genuinely quite funny.
Right.
Because I just went, because it kind of goes, oh, thanks so much. And it goes, boom, and the kid just goes, smack. And then it's like, dude. And then it just kicks off. And for about... it's about a 90-second sequence that's so generally really funny.
One good scene and one running gag.
And yeah, and that's it. It's really bad. So that's
a void. So I assume there's like no one in the FFL.
Stephen Merchant's in this film
as
Stephen Merchant who buys a sex doll from them.
And how old are these kids?
Yeah, 11. Mm. Yeah, it's weird, right? Yeah. And Will Forte is in it, and he's the dad, and he basically bookends the film.
Right.
He does get the best line, which is, I told you not to touch my drone. You let me down. I still love you because you're my son, but I don't like you anymore. And you're like, dude, that's awesome. I'm so using that on my kid later on. but that's it. It's just, it doesn't work. Avoid this film. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not endearing. And it's tonally wrong. So I'm not doing well.
No.
But I have high hopes for October.
Yes.
Cool.
I mean, could it get much worse than that?
Yes, it is, because now I'm going to continue the negative spiral and talk about financial flops. Okay. Do it. So there's been two films this year kind of specifically that have been really highly publicized and highly hyped.
Mm-hmm.
And both were classified as financial flops. Now, I know that this is an audio podcast, but you hopefully you can see my air quotes that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So a financial flop. Now I've gone off and I've found both of these films and watched both of these films to see objectively if they were A, any good, and B, if they actually financially flopped.
Okay.
First film first, because that's the best way to start, is Hellboy.
Ah, which I have seen. Ah, and now you have seen.
Exactly.
Okay. Financial flop.
Okay, so this one was, but let's go through why. Mm. So this is effectively what should have been Hellboy 3 with Guillermo del Toro and Ron Perlman, but it just took too long to go. So now we have Neil Marshall was the director.
Right. Oh, no, he's done good stuff.
Yeah. And you got David Harbour playing Hellboy.
Yeah, and he's like good because, you know, in the Stranger Things, he plays a gruff, grumpy, big lunk.
I don't watch.
And Hellboy is in a similar kind of thing.
The only thing I've seen David Harbour in is the interstitial Tide ads from the Super Bowl.
Right.
Which is very good. He's very good
in
that. Anyway, it's not a good film.
Mm, it's messy.
It's really a mess of a film. And it does spark a new theory, which is, with the exception of The Fifth Element, which is borderline, has Mila Jovovich made a good film in her entire life?
Ooh.
I mean, no offense to her.
Yeah,
I'm sure
Mila Jovovich is in this. I'm sure
she's lovely, and I'm sure she's really good, and I'm sure she did it. But she seems to make some really weird career choices, like bad career choices, like crappy films.
But this film should have been good. She's still working. I mean, she's consistently banging the films out. They're just all a bit questionable. And what was the bit with the witch in the house? That there's like this whole bit where he goes to some other dimension.
Oh, Baba Yaga. Yeah, she's a Russian witch thingy.
But in what way does that fit with the rest of the film. No, it seems like they filmed a load of stuff and then worked out, well, we've got another 20 minutes to film.
Yeah.
To fit, to sort of run out the film time. How do we tie that back in? It seems very disjointed.
And also, originally they were going to cast Ed Skrein as the British Secret Service guy who turns into the Were Jaguar, okay. Which is so heavily signposted, you know, it's coming. Yeah. He actually refused the role because in the comics that role is played by a Japanese or an Asian character.
Right.
So he said, I'm not going to be accused of whitewashing it.
Right.
So fair play to him. But this guy seems to be more famous for turning down roles than actually doing other things because he was in Game of Thrones and didn't want to go back. So they replaced him with Daniel Day Kim.
Yeah.
Who I really like.
Yeah, he's cool.
Except there's one thing that Daniel Day Kim shouldn't do.
Right.
And that's an attempt. That's an attempt to do a British accent.
Oh, yeah.
His accent was worse than mine.
Mm.
And mine's terrible.
Because
I can only say one thing in a British accent, as discussed.
Yes.
But his is awful. So I spent the whole time kind of going, why could they not? Could he not just be American? Or could they not have found someone who could do British accent? It's a mess of a film. But the thing is before the film was even released, everyone went, financial flop, it's going to be a financial flop, it's going to be terrible.
Really?
We're going to like, it's not going to work.
So it had bad
press attached to it. And that was a combination of a few things. One, they didn't preview it to critics, which is always a bad sign.
Yep.
Two, apparently Neil Marshall, the director, who's done a few good films, had issues on set. There was disagreements, there was studio interference, there was all kinds of other bits and bobs.
And thirdly,
and I think this is the key thing, is I think that there are people out there who will ride or die for Guillermo del Toro and Ron Perlman. Okay. And because it wasn't the sequel they wanted.
Fanboy hate legion.
So this film had a budget of $50 million. And a box office not inconsiderable, but a box office return of 40.
Didn't even cover its cost.
Yeah. Now, generally speaking,
I mean, that seems floppish to me.
But the problem, the thing is, it was a predestined flop.
Right. But not from the moment, I mean, the script was written, or do you think it was... Do you think the moment that Guillermo del Toro
said
and Ron Perlman,
they should have just...
It was just like destined to fail.
I think so. I think that this had too many things going up against it. And
right.
I think that it was sent out to die. It was a film that was sent out to die.
A death march.
Yeah. And they went, look, let's just... However, the trailer looked pretty good. There was a couple of great lines in it.
Yeah.
Maybe the
trailer is probably the best way to watch the film.
To be honest with you, the first Hellboy film is also a bit of a mess.
Mm.
And apparently there's loads. I'm not a fan of the comics.
The comics, yeah.
Never read them.
No.
But from what I understand, there's lots of stuff in this Hellboy film, which if you're an insane Hellboy comic nerd, you'll love.
Right.
There's lots of callbacks and references and blah, 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 blah. But I just think generally...
But staying true to the source material isn't a guarantee of success.
It's also a very heavy CGI apocalypse. And I think we've had enough CGI apocalypses for this decade. I think we need to move on a little bit. But yeah. Meh.
Yeah. Okay. You said there were two. What's the other
one? Yeah. Now, the other one is Men in Black.
Ah.
Men in Black International.
Internationale. When we discussed the reasons last time why this might exist, purely for, you know, accounting book. and keeping other parts of your business empire going, right?
Yeah.
Your theme parks and that kind of
stuff. And as you can see, I have brought my flashy thing.
Yeah.
Which I've actually had for 25 years.
Yes.
Because this is what we were carrying that day we nearly got arrested.
Yeah.
Remember?
No.
Exactly.
Ah.
No, true story. We nearly got arrested once for dressing as Men in Black.
Did we?
We did.
Ah.
A flashy thing. So this is Men in Black International. This should have been great. It's got Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Who can do no wrong.
Yeah.
It's got Tessa Thompson.
Exactly.
It's got Kumail Nanjiani. I'm sorry, Kumail. I have real difficulty with your
name. Emma Thompson as well?
Emma Thompson turns up. Liam Neeson's is in it.
A brace of Thompsons.
Yes.
Um,
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Um,
it looked pretty all right. trailer, right? We looked at the trailer.
It's good.
Like, yeah.
I watched it.
Oh, and it is good.
I watched it. I watched it.
Sorry. Well, I was stacking this up and you go, yeah, it's another rubbish film.
No.
But it's not. Okay.
It's really good. So, I mean... Yeah, it's so basically
but a preordained financial flop. So is it a flop?
No. Well, let's get to that in a second.
Do we need a tight definition of flop?
Well, okay, so here's generally the rule is the budget you spend on the film,
yep,
is generally you'll spend that budget again,
yep,
on the marketing, promotions,
that is insane.
Tie-in, blah blah blah
that
blah
is
blah.
A lot of money.
So then you need to recoup that cost, right, with the intention then of being able to recoup that cost again for merchandising, blah blah
okay,
blah blah.
So
blah,
you're
blah,
saying like three so times 50, your budget equals success.
Like I think as a general rule, three right, times the film's budget would be a success. This film cost somewhere between 94 and 110 mil.
Wow, so they're looking for like 300 mil then if you it go got, for that.
Yeah, and it brought in 253.
Okay.
It broke even.
It broke even, and it's, everyone can be happy, right? You've paid everyone.
Yeah.
Made,
everyone made a bit of cash out of it. It's better than putting it in a bank account and living off the interest.
No one's losing their job.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That doesn't sound like a flop to me.
So I really liked the first Men in Black film.
I think we really liked
it. We liked it. Because it's a good film.
It spoke to us.
It did. It's slightly, yeah, it's knowing. It knows it's not being
it's
taken
silly.
Itself too seriously. It's
sci-fi.
Quite silly. It's got
all
kinds.
It's got
all
the chrome.
It's got loads of chrome. It's got style. The second film, not so much.
No.
The third film,
no,
really
that was
not so
like,
much.
Like really, really bad.
So this was an attempt. But yeah. So basically.
This is the fourth one. Men in
yes,
Black 4, right.
But in terms of now, if I pull out the flashy thing here,
right.
I can go. There was no Men in Black 2 and 3. This is a direct sequel to Men in Black.
Okay. This is a direct sequel. Yeah. It's been long time since the original Men in Black.
But that's what's being treated at. It's being treated as
like 97 to
yeah.
it's
so it's
like
being
20 years.
It's being treated as a sequel to the original one. I think they're kind of glossed over the ones
right.
in between. But it's
the other ones?
Don't worry about that. Sorry, I keep forgetting I used the flashy thing. So basically it follows the story of Molly, and Molly has an alien encounter with her family when she's a kid.
Right.
The film starts with Agent H, which is Chris Hemsworth,
right,
and Agent T, which is Liam Neeson, and they go to Paris. So the Eiffel Tower in Paris actually is a giant Stargate, and the
excellent.
And the Hive, the terrifying assimilating Borgness of the MIB universe, is breaking through to this Stargate, and they manage to
ooh,
they manage
that sounds
to
bad.
Yeah, it does, but they manage to basically save the world using nothing but their wits and a Series 7 deatomizer, and they're both legends. Anyway. Skip back now, and we now follow the story of Molly.
Right.
So Molly and her family have a bit of an alien encounter. Her parents get flashy thinged by the Men in Black, but she doesn't because they don't realize that she was there. And then she spends
her
whole life tracking them down. So she's gifted. She's really clever. She applies to go to work for the FBI, but only in the Men in Black division. There is no Men in Black division. She applies for the CIA, and basically she spends her life trying to find these guys down. And she eventually sleuths out an MIB operation, tracks them back to their headquarters, and basically makes her case to join them. And Emma Thompson turns up as O, who is the head of the New York office.
Right.
At which point they give her black suit and her glasses. They don't give her as a flashy thing because you don't get one yet until you've earned your stripes.
Right.
And they send her off to London
mm-hmm.
to investigate some problems in the London office.
Right.
So that's the first half hour of the movie. So the international office is run by Liam Neeson, who's now called High T, which is funny because that's a British thing. And yeah. Agent H, who did save the world 3 years ago in Paris using nothing but his wits and a Series 7 deatomizer, is now a bit of a burnout, washout, ex-maverick kind of agent.
Right.
And basically, the plot progresses. Aliens turn up. Really cool kind of scary cloud aliens that if you look away, they move closer to you in a Blink-esque fashion. They turn up. There's a little tiny alien bodyguard who's called Pawn, who hides as a chess piece. He's a little alien voiced by... and I've got to take a massive run to this guy's name. I'm so sorry. Voiced by Kumail Nanjiani. And he sat there and I went, I recognize that voice. And I went, I think it's the guy from The Big Sick. And that's him. And I was like, oh, it's him.
What you like.
He's very funny. And it ticks along with a couple of glamorous locations.
Yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson turns up as a three-armed ex love interest of Agent H, who's also an international.
Sorry, three arms.
She's got three arms. Yeah,
okay.
But, like, she's an alien. No, don't be racist.
All right.
And she turns up as the crime lord ex of Chris Hemsworth agent, and there's a fight for a magical doohickey.
Of course.
And then lots of other people are in it. It's fun. It's fun. It ticks along.
So it's the second best.
It's the second best. Yeah.
Out of two. Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's no reference to Tommy Lee Jones or Will Smith.
Okay.
They just don't turn up.
Yep.
And it ticks along, and it Rafe Spall is in there as well, who I always like as the slightly antagonistic deputy guy.
Excellent.
Who's like, you know, your ego's right and checks your body counts. Chris Hemsworth has polished off his impressively deep Thor British accent, which works quite well.
Okay.
Liam Neeson turns up as Liam Neeson. You can't really go wrong with Liam Neeson. Now, yeah.
In the film.
And it's good. It's a good film.
Okay.
So,
all right. But it didn't make three times back, therefore.
But the thing is before it even came out, everyone went, no. And everyone kind of pre-decided. And we do this on the Trailers podcast. We'll look at a trailer and go, no, I'm not interested. Not going to watch it. Not having it. But this film should have done better. It was pretty good.
There was no reason.
It was kid-friendly.
Right.
It should have been good. It was well timed.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. So I don't understand why. But besides the fact that everyone goes, oh, it's gonna be a flop. And you go, well, if you say it's gonna be a flop, no one's gonna go and see it. And I just think that word of mouth killed it when actually.
But it was pre word of mouth.
It was
not
pre word of
post,
mouth. There was a pre thing, and everyone kind of saw it as a cynical cash grab.
Prejudice.
But yeah, good film.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
I know.
Go watch it. I'm going to go watch it.
You can't. It's too late. You can watch it on...
When it turns up.
You can watch it on streaming services now. You can watch it now that it comes out on DVD
Great news is seeing that it was a financial flop, it'll turn up on streaming much sooner. Yay!
It will, absolutely, yeah. But it's worth the watch.
So there's
other films out there that you look at it and you kind of go, yeah, that's actually a better film than the one that made $1 billion. So I suppose there's no magic formula at the end of the day, because if there were, we'd be
billionaires.
Fuffle billionaires. But
yeah,
it just struck me as, because I watched it last night and I had to cash in one of my Trust Me, Mrs. B, You Might Enjoy This Film. And it was
all right.
Funny. It was good. Yeah, watch
so you,
it.
You're just disappointed with the world.
I'm not,
attitude.
Yeah,
I
am.
Buck your ideas up, world.
And I'm guilty
Stop
of it.
Stop dissing films before you've seen them.
I'm guilty of it as well. And yeah, it's but
true.
Maybe we just need to have a little bit more patience in this world.
Mm.
Right. Anyway, rant over. So that rant's over.
Yep.
But you might want to strap in for this
one. There's more?
Oh, yes. So last month on the podcast, I announced my plans for my birthday, which I said that I wanted
sounded pretty awesome.
Rent out
looking
the cinema,
forward to it. Yep.
And we're going to do a screening of A Few Good Men, my favourite film. And
yes.
You were like, oh yeah, that's a great film, that sounds really good. Yeah, I'm totally up for that, I'm brilliant.
Yeah,
And then about a week later on Discord,
you
did something that I didn't... You actually admitted to the fact that you were too afraid in the room to say that you haven't seen A Few Good Men.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid now.
Now,
to be in the same room.
You might want to cast your mind back to back in the very start of this podcast. We did a very ill-conceived segment called Confessions. And it was where somebody would confess to have not seeing a film that people would generally have expected you to see.
Yes.
So, for example,
I hadn't seen
The Godfather and everyone was like, oh, you guys.
And I had not seen Ferris Bueller's
And
Day
I hadn't
off.
Seen Rear Window. And that made Mr. Estall literally
leave
the room.
Well, I mean,
we haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
And we decided to stop doing it
because
on the grounds that everyone got very angry about it.
And there was
tension. There was no real closure for it.
No.
But for 1 week only, we're bringing it back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm going to say one thing and then I'm going to let you talk. Right?
Okay.
And the thing I'm going to say is, you haven't seen A Few Good Men?
No, I have not seen A Few Good Men. I think I had the disadvantage growing up of not working in a video store like you did.
No, sir.
You got to see all the films.
No, you are wrong. I saw it in the cinema. Took people with me who were the same age as you, and they had their chance.
Okay, so like, when did this film come out?
1994.
1994.
Yes. Okay. What were you doing that day?
I was probably on a computer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep thinking that you were practicing law that day. You must have skipped that day. Sorry, I'm just going to pepper this in with various quotes. This will all look more sensible to you later on.
The truth of the situation.
Oh, dude, really? No, you know what? You know what? I'm not going to rise to that because you don't deserve that quote. You want me to rise to that quote. You need me to rise to that quote, but I'm not going to. Do you know why? Because you haven't seen the film.
I haven't. No, I think I was probably like at home playing Doom or something like that. Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
I don't know. I mean, it was a long time ago. I was a different person. I've grown a lot since then.
We live in a world with films, and those films need to be watched by men with podcasts. I'm going to do it. Are you going to do it? You, Mr. Smith?
I don't know how to respond.
Dude, I'm so upset with you right now.
I don't know how to respond to that.
I'm genuinely so upset with you right now. Now, I don't want to overstate this, but I feel that this has undermined our friendship.
This is a dark secret.
You think you know someone, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like, I mean... No, I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything else.
I think what you need to do is you need to take these feelings, you need to put them, you need to bottle them up, and you need to just leave them to the side. I wish I hadn't said anything.
1992, not 1994.
1992.
Came out in the UK in January 93.
Yeah, I was probably like sitting at home reading a Terry Pratchett book or something like that.
Still, okay, so this we're not going to review A Few Good Men because you know what we're going to do? I'm going to sit you in a cinema.
Right.
You're going to watch A Few Good Men. Then you're going to review A Few Good Men. It is an absolute belter of a film.
Right.
But I can't believe you're like, oh yeah, no, totally, yeah, we should go and see that, and then fessed up. Actually, I haven't seen it yet, and you were genuinely, I'm impressed that you were afraid to tell me because you know what, your instincts were bang on, my friend, absolutely bang on.
I think we need to take a little break and come back.
I think so.
Right, I think we need to get out of here before any more dark, long, festering secrets are revealed.
I can't even look at you right now.
Come on, man.
No.
Look, I'm sorry. I was young. I was foolish. What can I say, you know?
No, just do the closer. We're out of here.
Done. This was another episode of the FFL. If you want to contact us, maybe you've got some confessions, something deep and dark that you need to unburden yourself.
I do feel, while I'm
like smarting from your judgment, you're judging me. I do feel I'm glad that we've cleared the air and it's out there now because it has weighed on me all these.
That's fair. And I think this might be a point for if you're on Discord or if you want to email us, if there's a film that you haven't seen that you think that, you know, pop culture references you should have done,
and you feel ashamed because we
can't like phone you up or drag you into this recording studio, so at least we can help you, because I think it's one of those things that a friend of mine, for example, has never seen The Goonies, and we all went, oh, you haven't seen The Goonies, and I said you know what, don't watch it now. There's no point in you watching it. You've missed that point.
Yeah.
However, it was a really good film, and here's why it was a really good film, but you've missed it. And all these references that move forward. So, yes, if you would like to confess, I promise that I won't lose my temper unless you haven't seen A Few Good Men.
In which case, get out.
And then I probably will lose my temper. No, I'm fine. But no, if you have a confession, it's really good. I think, you're right. It does. I do feel that we've cleared the air amongst us.
Yeah.
I still love you because you're like family, but I just don't like you anymore.